that Job feared God and eschewed evil. And then, of course, Satan challenged God about Job and asked if Job would serve the Lord for naught. After Job's trials began to come, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And the Bible says he held fast his integrity in the midst of the trials. He then cried out to God in honesty and said, "Why, Lord? Why am I going through this?" And that brings in his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who basically said the same thing but in different ways. And that was that suffering is as a result of sin. And that if Job would get his heart right, that things would be okay. And that his children died because there was obviously sin in their life and they deserved it. Job responded by saying, "I wish you guys would show pity instead of accusation." And then he, in the 2 weeks before, talked about how we cannot argue with God and how he was personally confused about what was happening. And then last week, there in verse 12, he reminded his friends that God knows everything and has the breath of every living soul in his hand. That God is sovereign, God is powerful. And God, therefore, because he is sovereign, makes no mistakes. And so that brings us to chapter 13, where Job makes this beautiful declaration down in verse 15, which we'll get to. And then we'll stop there at verse 16 and then have a look at the chapter together. So starting in verse 1, "Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasonings, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do you so mock him? He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not come before him." So though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so grateful to be here and to continue searching out this amazing book, and we pray you'd use it in our hearts tonight to grow and to teach us, Lord. And we just want to honor you with our lives. So as we contemplate the suffering that we will face, Lord, may you truly teach us how to respond as you would have us to. And so we're grateful for you recording this for us and pray you'll now use it in a mighty way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Job here is being straight up with his friends, as you can see, and saying that basically there in verses 1 and 2 that to know God and to know about God are two different things. And here we are thousands of years later, and that's still true, isn't it? The world, a lot of them know a lot about God. They know facts about God, facts about Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they know God. And there will be a lot of people that will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment, and they'll say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, in thy name that hath cast out devils?" And he will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So you can know everything about God and still go to hell. You have to know God personally. And Job's friends, they were spouting out that they knew all these things about God that they thought were true based on their experiences and so forth. And Job is saying, yeah, but I know God. I know God. And we'll see, he many times says that. When we get to chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that one day he'll stand on the earth. And when after my skin was destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He says, I know God. You guys just know about God. And you think you've got it all figured out. And you're wrong. And he doesn't beat around the bush in verse 4. Ye are forgers of lies and physicians of no value. He's saying, you guys really aren't helping. You aren't giving me balm for my soul, as a friend should. You're physicians of no value. You're here just to make things worse rather than better. And it's probably a good reminder for all of us, isn't it? That when we have a friend who's going through some intense suffering, that's not what they need. They don't need to be preached to. What they need is to be loved and someone to show some empathy. Not for someone to come and preach to them, which is what these guys are trying to do. And so he reminds them about God and about his relationship with God. But then in verse 13, he takes a bit of a turn and says, hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. In other words, I'm about to say something very important here, and let happen to me whatever happens, but I'm just going to state something. And he says, I'm not taking my flesh and my teeth and putting my life in my hands. He says, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What a statement. Remember, his family's been taken away. His living's been taken away. His health has been taken away. And now his friends are accusing him of causing it all because of sin. And he says, we've already read. He said, I don't understand. I'm confused. I don't know why God's putting me through this, but as the Bible says, he never accused God of anything. He did say he was confused and didn't understand, but he never accused God, and the Bible says he never charged God foolishly. That's important. But what he is saying here is, God may actually let me die physically. Think about that. He didn't know the end. He doesn't know chapter 41 and 42, does he? Now we do because we've read it, but he doesn't know what's coming. For all he knows, God's just going to let him suffer in the ash pile for a little while, and then he's going to die. And he says, if that's God's will, I'm not going to stop trusting him. That's one of the hardest things to do in intense trials, isn't it? Go to Psalm 56, please, and we'll look at some scriptures. It's easy to say we're trusting the Lord when our health is good and we've got a decent job and our relationships are going along okay. But when things seem to be falling apart, or there's a big need in our lives and we are begging out to God to help us with that, that's when we really can make it clear whether we truly trust the Lord or not. Because what we're saying is, I'm willing to let God deal with this how he chooses and when he chooses. And that's a big thing sometimes. Psalm 56, verse 3, David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. I will trust. One of the keys to this entire book is this verse, and that's trust. We're going to have trials in our lives. Guarantee, we've already looked at all the scriptures that teach us that. And some of them are going to be intense. And when those intense trials come, our first inclination is what? For God to take it away. To ask God to take it away. That's what we always do, isn't it? Lord, this is a horrible trial. Please remove it as soon as possible. Whatever it might be. Maybe an argument with someone, or you know, you've got a friction there, or maybe some sort of a major health issue, or maybe a job issue. And the first thing that we pray is, Lord, please take it away and fix it and make it the way I want it to be. You know, it's true. We all do it. Rather than say, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I'm going to trust you. That's a huge change in mindset. It doesn't change the outcome or the situation, but it does change our perspective. And I believe we can learn that from Job more than anything. As Job said, I'm going to trust God for the outcome. And I'm going to trust God for the timing of the outcome. What is the outcome? I don't know. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, or even Hebrews 11 at the end, there were some people that faced intense persecution, intense trials, and the end of the trial was actual death. Sometimes torture before death. Is that what they would have chosen if they were given a choice? Of course not. But that's when trust becomes real, isn't it? Is when it's intense. And that's when we can make a choice. I'm going to trust the Lord, or I'm going to ask God to change it and make it the way I want it to be. Job is saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing it. He's been honest, but he's saying, if it's your choice to put me through this and kill me at the end, so be it. I'm not going to stop trusting you. That's a great attitude to have while you're sitting in the ash pile, isn't it? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Notice he says in verse 16, he also shall be my salvation. Well, this is really the foundation of our trust, isn't it? How can we trust God in anything? Because we already trusted him for our eternal life, our destiny. We've trusted him for our future. The day that we trusted him, God saved us. If you would go to Ephesians 1, and I'll show you this. But what happens is, because we are so self-centered and selfish, we're willing to say, Lord, I trust you for my eternal destiny. I trust you to save me from hell. I trust you to take care of my sin problem. But I'm going to struggle to trust you in this trial. Think about the comparison of those two things. We'll trust him forever for our eternal destiny, but we won't trust him in a trial. That's because of our nature. But notice verse 12 of Ephesians 1, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So there's that word trusted, in whom ye also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The day that we got saved, we placed our trust in Jesus Christ, didn't we? We said, I'm no longer going to trust myself, my works. I'm not going to trust anything but Jesus for my destiny. I'm not going to trust anything but Jesus for my salvation. That's salvation. When we place our trust in him. And he equates in 13, trusting and believing. You can see that they're synonymous there. And they are. So the day we got saved, we said, I'm now placing all of my trust on Christ. He's my rock. He's my everything. He's my salvation. He's my Savior. I trust him. Go to 2 Corinthians 1:10. We'll see another one. And again, it's all in who we trust. Not only for our destiny, but then in the midst of the trials. Notice 2 Timothy 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death. What death is that? That is eternal death. What we read about in Revelation 20:14. And doth deliver. So he did deliver us from death, but it says he continues to deliver. And it says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Isn't that good? So we trusted him to deliver us from so great a death, to be in hell forever and ever. You couldn't do any greater of a death than that. And he continues to deliver. And it says, and we're going to trust that he will yet continue to deliver us. And we could say, well, then how could he let us go through a trial? Good question. If he puts us through an intense trial like he did Job, did he stop delivering us? You see? No. He's deemed that as part of our walk with him, but the delivery hasn't stopped. And it may result in physical death, but what do you get after that? Eternal deliverance through Jesus Christ. See, we have this misconception, and his friends had this misconception, that when we go through an intense trial, God has somehow backed away, and God is somehow not delivering us anymore. And that's not true. God hasn't backed away. God's still right there where he was all along, and he's still delivering us. He's still in control. He's still watching over us. He's still refining us. He's still preparing us for heaven. The delivery hasn't stopped, but we think it has. That God has somehow said, well, I'm going to just let you be on your own for a little while, and I'll be back later. It's not true. So Job is acknowledging that that's not true. He says physical death may even be God's will, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to trust him. And it doesn't mean that I haven't trusted him for my salvation. I'm just going to keep trusting him. That he's going to do what's best for me. And I don't know what the end result is. So back to our passage. Notice in verse 21, he says, withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Verse 23, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Is it okay to spend some time asking the Holy Spirit to reveal any sin in our life? Always. And Job did that. And he finishes the chapter by saying, and he is a rotten thing, consumeth as a garment that is moth-eaten. Our time is short on earth. Our life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But we look at it as a very long period of time. God looks at it as just like that. The flower that of the grass that just withereth away. Because it's so short compared to eternity. Job understood this. Again, go to chapter 19, which I quoted earlier. And in the midst of all of this, Job reaffirmed, 19:25, that the end was set. And if we are born again, the end is set. Amen? And that is heaven. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'm going to see God someday, he says. In a new body. Did you get that? Because after the skin worms destroy this body, I'm going to yet see God in my flesh. Well, the skin worms already ate it. Where's this other flesh come from? That's the new body we're going to get. Job understood all of this. He didn't even have the Bible. So Job is saying, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I believe God wants us to say the same. Trust. Trust. So go to Isaiah 26, please. And we'll finish there this evening. But we need to have this attitude and an understanding that when suffering comes, God did not stop delivering us. And this is the confusion in most people. That when an intense trial comes, uh-oh, where'd God go? God didn't go anywhere. God just decided you needed this, but he never left. He never quit caring. He never quit loving. He never quit preparing you for heaven. It all stayed the same. He's still delivering you. We just get a misconception of what delivery means. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he what? Trusteth in thee. So God says that our minds, if they're stayed on the Lord and we're trusting him no matter what, we can have the peace. And this is the same peace we read about in Philippians 4, isn't it? The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Now look at verse 4, the same chapter. Trust ye in the Lord. How long? Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So you see that word trust, how many times it shows up just in those two verses. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So when we get this thought in our heads that God isn't delivering me because I'm in a trial, we're saying God's strength isn't everlasting. when it is. So we need to be trusting God no matter what. And that's the key. And that's tough. It's tough when there's a hard thing in your life and you keep praying for it, praying that God will change it, praying that God will fix it, whatever it might be. And it's tough to say, I have to trust the Lord. God makes no mistakes. God knows my heart. God knows what my need is. I got to trust Him. To not trust Him is sin. And I'm thankful that Job did this for us. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So God promises so much to those who trust him. He promises peace. He promises comfort. He promises, of course, eternal deliverance. He promises his presence. And we could go on all evening. The point is, trust. No matter how bad it is, no matter how different it is from what we may desire, He's doing what He believes is best, and that's when we need to say, I trust You, Lord. This isn't what I would have wanted. This isn't what I expected, but I trust You. No matter what. Even if You choose to take me home tomorrow, I trust You. And that's what Job said. Though He slay me, I'm just going to trust God. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Let's pray. Well, we want to